Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
and all the time.
We also know, believe and live, that God, through His Son, our Savior, taught us three commands: to love God, love others, and go. That is the heart of Jesus Christ, and that's why we are the heart of Christ, that we may learn to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel in by transforming our lives and the world around us. For all of these commands sum up the whole of the Scriptures, and as we apply ourselves to them, we are changed first, and then our world. And we all try to remember that every day. Can I get an amen? Because how much of our world wants everything to change, and then maybe I'll deal with me? But today, I'm going to talk about just how the world is dealing with where we are and what is going on. The sermon title today is entitled, We Are, But Not. And this is a continuation, and I did not plan to do a sermon series here, but this is what God is doing to your pastor and has been and is continuing to. I don't know how far this thing's going to go, but He certainly does. Because how many of you are seeing evil unfurled around us exponentially? When we turn on the news, you know, I don't even watch TV anymore, but all you have to do is look at the different varying news outlets, even the ones I look at, and the amount of stuff that is happening. I was speaking to the guys earlier that there are road rage. How many of you have seen road rage taking a turn, and it's just getting horrible out there? I mean, how many of us are seeing the things going on within our own government? You know, the legislative branch is now arguing with the judicial branch, and Congress is like, we don't know what to do. It's hilarious. We see this battle going on, and you know, it's funny because they warned us that there was a storm coming. Well, I think it's here. And it's a spiritual storm. And today I want to talk to you about that. 9 times out of 10 when I'm up here, I preach. Today I'm not going to preach. We need to have a talk. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I'm going to change this, Pete, because it ain't on me so good. I can't change this, Pete. I'll have to let you guys change that. I'll break something. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. I have never done this. The Lord has never asked me to do this in my entire time as a pastor. But the times, they are a-changing. And we need to change too. We need to understand who and whose we are. The Apostle Paul was dealing with hardships in Corinth and the things that were coming against him at the very beginning of Christianity, when things were just starting to take place. And from the very beginning, we've been under attack. All Christianity has been under attack. And the Word tells us, if we read the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter, that as we get closer and closer to the day of the Lord, that those attacks are going to increase, that things are going to get bad all around the world. Yes, we're going to leave, and there are folks that are like, whew, man, come, Lord, come. Can I get an amen, church? But the reality is we're going to be here for a while. We're going to see this. That's why He told us this stuff was going to come. So we need to remember that we are, but not. Look to verses 1. And 2. The Apostle Paul here writes, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What's Paul talking about here? Where do we find ourselves? How many of us find ourselves in a group, in a place where we're sitting with other people, non-believers, workers, fellow human beings, and all of a sudden the conversation goes a direction that we know it really shouldn't be going, or the attitudes, the things that are being said, go a direction that they shouldn't go, and we just let it go and we let it ride. Paul here is talking about false teachings. Paul is talking here about these shameful things that are being spoken, but we need to manifest truth in each and every day in all that we do. Because as soon as we begin to compromise and allow the things of this world to come in upon us, what are we doing? We have subverted the truth of God, and we're allowing this world to taint us. You know, I think about where we are and just how easy it is just to turn a blind eye and not say anything. One of the news outlets that I watch showed a video of a 40-year-old man. He was on a boat fishing, and he was a captain of a charter boat. And he pulls up to a spot that he wants to fish, and there's another boat there with a younger fella in it, and he starts hollering at this younger guy. Now, the captain has three people on his vessel. They're paying customers. And the next thing you know, this young man that he's talking to, which you later find out he's 15 years old, he starts cussing this guy out to the point because he's accusing him of something he didn't do, but he thinks it was him because the boat's the same color and he's a young fella. It gets to the point where this captain gets on the other kid's boat and is literally, verbally abusing him in such a manner. But what do you think those three guys did that were on his boat? Absolutely nothing. They just sat there. Here's a 15-year-old boy, miles out in the ocean, and some guy is flipping out on him in his boat. I want you to think about your life. Your life is that boat. How many of us allow that stuff to come in and go after us, and all these other people are looking, and we're looking for them to say something, to do something? It ain't up to them. It's up to us. And it's hard. It ain't easy. But you don't quit. Jesus has not quit on us. We are perplexed, but we are not defeated. Can I get an amen? Amen. And we speak the truth to these people. They're not going to like it. I don't care. Because the truth is going to protect me. The truth is going to protect you. These last 3 weeks have been really hard on your pastor. Not because of anything so much going on in my life, but what's going on in yours. I have received so many phone calls. I have been on the phone with you folks so much. And I know where you are. I've heard from you. And it's hard. And it breaks my heart. But you're not alone. We have truth. And His name is Jesus Christ. And nothing has defeated Him, and nothing will defeat Him. Do you hear me? Nothing will defeat Him. But we've got to be willing to get real. Bear the hurt, because it's going to hurt. But remember, He has told us we will have an abundant life, because it is speaking that truth into this darkness that is going to change our world. Speaking nothing and just cowing down to this thing is going to allow it to defeat everyone, because all we have are our words. Can I ask you a question? How important and how powerful do you think your words are? When it is the Holy Spirit speaking through you, do you realize you are speaking the very creation of God into this world? Would you stop letting this evil one destroy your lives? And would you begin speaking the truth of Jesus Christ into the reality that He's asked you to bring it? You are that reality. I tell you all the time, but my heart breaks because I don't have the power to do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. We're he-men. We're not supposed to cry, right? Horse hockey. How many parents cry for their kids? What do you think I'm looking at? Some of you may be older than me. God doesn't care about age. You're my sheep. And the shepherd hurts today. It's time to stop being weak sheep. It's time to remember we're the sheep of the pasture of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have the victory, and His name is what?
Jesus Christ.
I want you to say that like you mean it.
Jesus Christ.
Because that's the truth. What else does God tell us? Look at your word. Verse 3 and 4 and 5. Got to clear my eyes so I can read. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Again, we're going back to the false prophets. Why were they teaching what they were teaching, the false teachers? Because they want to promote and emulate the things that they're doing. Isn't that what we see happening in our world? They want us on that internet. They want our kids wrapped up in those stupid phones. I'm telling you, you want your kid to have a phone? Get rid of the internet. Get them a dumb phone that dials phones and takes pictures. That's it. But Pastor, it's a tool and I can't talk to my friends. They aren't your friends if they're not in your face. Again, it's another lie. We need to understand the reason you don't see what I'm saying is truth, the reason the world doesn't see what I'm saying is truth is because their minds have been veiled. What's the veil? It is that internet thing. It is that cell phone. It is the stuff of this world that is blocking you from seeing the reality of God. Yesterday, guess what your pastor did? I planted 35 trees, and we weeded and trimmed over 200 feet of raspberry plants. Do you think I'm tired? You better believe I am. My son said to me, he said, Dad, I don't know if we're going to get all this done. I said, probably not, but we're going to go at it. He said, man, all I do is work. I said, yeah, but this is the abundant life. He said, what? I said, when you're working at work and you come home and you want to rest and you want to relax, you want to escape from this world, what do? Well, I sit down and I look at my internet and I start checking my TikToks and, you know, all this other good stuff. Yeah, what does that get you? Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and life abundantly. He said, well, how does planting those trees give you abundant life? I said, because 5 years from now, I'm going to have fruit. I said, I may not have anything now, but it's a coming. Abundant life is planting it today and receiving it tomorrow or the next day or the next day. It's not about now. It's not about instant gratification. Yeah, I'm yelling. But you all know what I'm yelling for. Because I love my kids. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear the love I have for Christ and the love He has for us. He is not going to stop you and say, don't do that. He's going to let you do it. Why? Because He's not an oppressor like Satan is. Satan will just keep coming at you in every step and in every way. When we look at the words that he is showing us here, because Satan wants us to be unbelieving, he keeps us under the attack. Because Satan is the god of this world, small g, because he holds nothing over Jesus Christ. But we have to remember this same war, this same battle is being fought every day in each of our lives. And God loves you so much. You know, I look at you two little girls sitting up front here. It's so cool that you're here now. You're not back with the kids. You're up here because you're becoming young adults. And guess what? You're learning stuff that these older people probably didn't learn until they were too old to know better. But we're giving you the opportunity to get it now so you can defeat those things. So you can know the truth of God and have the strength to get through it. And I'll guarantee you, your mom and dad that are sitting right beside you are going to say, yeah, Pastor was right because I went through this stuff. But how do I express it? And then we have young couples sitting here that are, you know, they're just starting to plan their lives, and we're going to have little ones coming in here at some point in the future now, and praise God for that. And guess what? That means you got to go through all this stuff all over again. To those of us who are grandparents, we just get to spoil the kids, send them home, and leave. I got one of my sisters back here saying, amen. It's called vengeance, isn't it? We got to be able to laugh. Because in the midst of this war, there is abundant life. Because the truth we see, the joy we have in our hearts, it's veiled to this world also. Not just the truth, but the joy that we have, the looking to that future. Now, I know those fruit trees are going to bear fruit in about 5 years, but guess what? I've been working on those raspberries for the last 3, so I'm going to be picking me some black raspberries, and I'm going to make some wine out of them puppies. So I'm going to get to enjoy the fruits of my labor and the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we need to remember. The things that we did a while ago are now going to bear fruit, but yet we need to be planting more fruit. We need to be tilling that ground, planting seed where there is no seed. We're going to have to go in there and get into that rock and start moving it. Well, that's heavy labor. Yeah. How do you think those fields got cleared? How do you think your field got cleared? How do you think you're where you are? Because somebody invested in you. We need to invest in one another. But God's not done with us yet, because there's more to learn from verse 7 or 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. When we see the things that God is doing in our world, the evil one is going to come against us. But we will see the victory, and it takes time. Just like those trees take time, just like those raspberry plants have taken time, we will see the fruit thereof. Can I get an amen? But we have to be steadfast in the knowledge of Christ. We have to keep our minds locked on Him. Because if we don't keep our minds locked on Him, we're going to let this other stuff supersede. I was down there at the farm, and this is so amazing because I don't put illustrations together. God gives me illustrations in my own life. And I'm pulling raspberries. I'm pulling weeds around the raspberries. My daughter-in-law, Noelle, this pregnant, she says, boy, Dad, there's a whole bunch of little raspberry plants over here. I guess I should let them in. I said, oh, yeah, if they're little raspberry plants, you let them in. And all of a sudden, she says, well, there's a lot of them here. And I'm like, what? There shouldn't be that many, you know. Raspberry plants grow out of a single crown. And she's like, well, look at it. And the whole ground was covered in this vine. And I walked over and I said, oh, my gosh. I said, that's choke thistle. Well, she said, the leaves look like raspberries. I said, yeah, but look at the vine. Look at the stalk. Raspberries have a stalk that grows straight up, and then it throws stuff off the top. This thing is spreading out all over. So I'm pulling this vine, and I mean, it's vine after vine after vine. And the spot where it was, it already choked out 5 plants. They were dead. When we do not stand in the sun, the light of Christ, what happens to a plant when it doesn't get light? It dies. Guess what happens to us when we don't stay in the light of Christ and we allow the choking weeds, the choking thistles of the evil one to come in on us? We begin to die inside. And we stop being the fruit bearers. We are to bear fruit. But that means we need to pull out the weeds and the thistles. Because, yeah, but I'm a good person and you know, I shouldn't have to do this. The world is constantly encroaching on each and every one of us. We are to renew our minds day by day. That means we have to stay in this word. That's being in the light of Christ. For the light shall shine out of darkness. Who's the darkness? What we formerly were. For now the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that we may have life and life abundant. I want you to think about how things have changed just for us as a church. How many years have we been in this facility now? Brother Chuck, what is it, 11? Pretty close to 11, maybe even a little over 11 years. But we're looking to move to Jonestown, aren't we? And boy, I'm praying all of you can get plugged in when we do that. But guess what? We're being delayed. Why? Because the evil one doesn't want it. But you know what? I'm okay with that. Because I know when we get there, oh, what a blessedness. Oh, what a glory divine. But are you willing to put in what it takes to get there? Because the evil one's going to throw out personal attacks, and I'm going to use what I just found out last night. Because if you don't think the evil one attacks, you're wrong. One of the folks from St. John's, Carl, and I know he doesn't think he's going to be part of the sermon, but he's coming into our church, so he's going to find out. Anything that happens is fair game for the pastor. The evil one attacked Carl. Carl had a heart attack on Wednesday morning. They had to rush him to emergency surgery, and they replaced a stent in him. And Carl's recovering now. According to Miss Sally's email, the heart attack he had was a 100% blockage of the main artery, which is what they call the widow maker. Guess who's surviving? Come on, church. Guess who's surviving? May we give God the praise. Because God knows he's supposed to be part of this church moving forward. He's trying to take him out. He's trying to get us discouraged. He's trying to get the folks that are working to bring this stuff forward from St. John's. He's trying to get them down, trying to get them scared. He's trying to step in where he doesn't belong. And today we're going to pray for Carl in our prayer time. And we're going to watch God move. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. Because we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, and the light of Jesus Christ is healing, wisdom, and knowledge, power, and glory, and dominion. And guess where it comes from? Right here It manifests out of us now, for where does God reside? We are His temple, each and every one of us, and we need to claim that reality every day. We no longer are a building of darkness, but we are a building of light, that the light may shine out into the darkness, that we may truly illumine, heal, and restore, not that we're doing it, but that the power of God through us is being revealed into this world. Because not only is it going to renew this world, but it's going to renew you. It's going to give you the power you need to get through every day. Because as we see the evil one attacking, it is not time to retreat. We learned last week that they were building on the wall with their sword in their side. There are times when you put down the trowel and you pick up the sword. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. We don't have to go anywhere else. Just pick it up and speak it. Because we know it is the Word of God, the truth of God, the power of God. And through it, we have gained the victory already. So when you're looking at the things in your life and somebody doesn't like me, pray for them. Pray for them. And watch them be transformed. Amen, Mom? Amen, church? Because the light transforms all things. Moving on. From verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Brothers and sisters, Lynn asked me on Friday. We were headed down to Russell's, and she said, "How are you doing, sweetie?" It was early in the morning. We left early because we had a lot to do. And I said, "Well, I'm dying." She just looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "Yep. I've been dying since the day I was born." And she says, "That's a horrible thing to say." I said, "But it's the truth." I said, "In fact, the scripture says it. Where do you think I got it? Right here, you know, doing my Bible, doing my study, right?" And she says, "Yeah, but we're alive to Christ." I said, "And that's the glory of it, because though the outward man may be dying, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Because the evil one has nothing over me, because I have all eternity to look forward to. If all I'm going to look forward to is this 80-some years, if by luck and reason, and I'm telling you, the worse things get, I'm hoping it's shorter. But by glory, I'll be in glory. And in that day, I will claim He is my God, and I will be with Him forever, and He will call me His son, and He's already doing that now. We need to remember here on this side of the grave who and whose we are. We are these people. We are being afflicted in every way, crushed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We have that abundant life that keeps on going. These folks who live in this world have nothing but the destruction of everything they see, and that's why they are acting the way they're acting. Because they have no hope. But in Christ Jesus, our hope is what? What does the word say? Our hope is secure. We don't have a hope that is wishy-washy, like we don't know what's coming. How many of you have read the last chapter? We know what's coming, and we know what His name is. Because it's not a what, He's a who, and I can't wait because Herman's waiting to hear a who. For those of you who don't know it, that's Dr. Seuss. And we all know his name, and he knows our name. And when we walk in this reality, for we are constantly being delivered over to death. This world wants to tear us down, but in Christ Jesus, we are renewed every day. I just said it last week. You heard me say it. When you get up in the morning, you say, "Good morning, Lord, make it one." Because you and I don't have the power to do it. We have this thing in earthen vessels. But it's the power of God in us to do and be, because it is God who is doing and being in us. And we need to walk in that truth, in that reality. I want you to be strengthened today. I want you to understand I'm sitting at the table with you. Right here is the table. And what's on the table? The Word of God and the cross of Christ. And the light of the Lord is illuminating all that we are. We are partaking the Word of God, the Word of life, right now together. We are devouring a meal. This is a spiritual meal. You and I are having communion in spirit right now. This is not something that happens when we get the bread and the juice out. It happens every time we sit at this table. How many of us need to have this table in our houses, with our wives and our children, with our extended family? Oh, my heavens, brothers and sisters. It's time for the church to start eating like it's supposed to eat and growing like it's supposed to grow. But it's only going to happen when we sit down and get real. When do we get real? I think it's funny. When do we get real? When we're sitting at the table talking with people while we're having a meal. But of course, if you go out to the restaurants today, because I often wonder how many of these people sit in their houses when they're having a meal with their wife and their kids and they have their phone up and they're on their phone at their kitchen table. Because when you go out to a restaurant, isn't that what you see? It's so amazing to me. Not at Heisey's. The food's too good, huh? But the food, may it be the conversation that flows around the tables. Because again, what is on that table? Do you get the picture? What are you serving at that table? There may be real food. There may be pot roast. There may be pork chops. There may be fried chicken. But is the Word of the Lord coming out at that table? Is the cross of Christ coming out at that table? And are the candles of the light of Christ on that table as we are coming together? Because brothers and sisters, if we don't eat of this table every day, we're going to lose our strength and we're going to fall asunder. This meal is not something that just happens on Sunday. He is our food, and we must take him in at all times, lest we die. For though we are perishing outwardly, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Moving on. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that we need to speak. We need to speak. We can't remain silent anymore. Talking one to another. What does the scripture say? Speak to one another in hymns, psalms. Make music in your heart to the Lord. As we bring these truths into life, what did I just say? As we bring these truths into life, that means we speak them. They are manifest, okay? Because again, I read earlier that it is manifest what? Through us. That means the presence of God is coming into this world, and he's coming in through you. Do you realize that's how much God loves you? That's how important you are to Him. When you speak and you are speaking the words of truth, when you are loving somebody that hates you, you are literally manifesting Christ in this world. He is right there in front of you. He is right there in you. And we have to understand, God wants us to have that victory now. He wants to raise us up in these moments. He wants you to understand you are His prized possession. You are that beautiful sheep. You know, when we go to the 4-H events, you know, everybody's, well, who's going to get the blue ribbon? You are the blue ribbon, each and every one of you. Every time you open your mouth and you're speaking the love of Jesus Christ into this world. And sometimes the love of Christ is rebuke, and we need to remember that. One of the hardest things I have to do is tell you folks, why are you so messed up? And then I have to remember who I am too, and guess what? I'm in the same boat. But the reality is, Jesus is asleep in the bow. Let's wake Him up. Let's wake Him up. Let's wake Him up and get Him to calm the storm, to speak to the wind, and to bring forth the power and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, when we think about this, yes, we are dying every day. But we're dying unto life. Because this body is going to perish. And I know you young ladies, you have a long way to go, so don't worry about that for a long time. But remember my words and live every day. Live every day. When the evil stuff comes, when the bad stuff comes, and it's going to come, right, Mom, right, Grandma? It's going to come. You don't sweat it. You don't give it power over you because you are alive. You are alive. We are alive. Can I hear you say that? We are alive. Amen. Amen, Pastor Dave. Because it's nothing in ourselves, but it is all in Him. Last scripture for the day. Let's finish the chapter. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brothers and sisters, we are working out our salvation through progressive sanctification unto our eternal sanctification. It is a work in progress. This is something that we must hold on to, and it is the glory and the hope that I have for each and every one of you, is to understand right now what you're going through is light and momentary. Because it pays no weight to what it would be like for those who are in hell for all eternity. And when we stand before the Lord, one moment in glory shall outweigh a lifetime of suffering. For the joy that's set before Him, Christ endured the cross, scorning its shame. What was the joy that's set before Him? You and you. Everyone who would believe and would come to Him, that He will have an eternal glory forever and ever and ever. And we are part of that. And that is our drive, that we know this world is being cursed, but we have a mandate from our Lord to call upon the name of the Lord, to walk in the strength and power that He has given us, and to put asunder the sin of this world and the wicked one who brings it upon us. Because His time is short and it's almost over. But the day is coming, and the day is here. This is the day the Lord has made. And regardless of what it holds, we know who holds it and will not turn from him. For in this day, I will glorify the Lord. Can I get an amen, church? God loves you. You have the victory. Stop allowing this stuff to pull us down. Look at the abundant life and remember, tomorrow is a new day. Russell said to me, he said, Dad, we didn't get the raspberries done. I said, nope. I said, but all we have left is to spread the manure on it. It's all we got to do. When I get down there later this evening, we're going to get the tractor out, and we're going to take big scoops of manure, and while he's in the tractor, I'm going to be forking it on those plants. And guess what? We all need a little bit of manure in our lives to keep us growing. It's a good thing, because God knows that we don't grow without struggle. And it is in the struggle that we meet him, because we cannot do it in our own strength. But through the strength of the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we come before you in that strength. And Lord, we know we have fallen, we have faltered. But Lord, may we be reminded day by day. And may we call upon our brothers and sisters to walk with us and to strengthen us, to help us. For we're not alone. No man is meant to be alone. No woman is meant to be alone. No child is meant to be alone. But that we are to call upon our brothers and sisters and walk in unity and love, loving you, loving others, and going with the gospel of Christ, that we may be transformed. And in that transformation, may you be manifest in our lives before all mankind. Bless you this day, O Lord our God, and may your glory always be shown, and may your love guide us, keep us, and bring us the hope and future that only you have for us. And that hope is eternity in Christ Jesus, whose name we pray. And the church says,
amen.
And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.